Church, can you stand with me? Choir, would you stand with me this evening? Can we sing a verse tonight? We usually do this on Sunday mornings and hardly ever get to do it on a Sunday evening. But can we sing the chorus that says, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Sounds good. Let's just sing it again. Praise the Lord tonight.
Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, He Savior. Oh.
Praise You and thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be back in Your house this evening. Lord, thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, how sweet it is when God's people come together and just worship You. Lord, You are worthy of our praise. Thank You, Lord, for the message this morning and the messenger. Lord, thank You for the bread, Lord, that You've sent our way as manna from heaven. And Lord, I thank You that You would just, Lord, feed us again tonight. Lord, I pray that You would touch our pastor, speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. Lord, accept the worship and the praise and the song service. Lord, I pray that You now touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. And Lord, I pray again that You just give us just a sweet spirit and a wonderful time in Your house tonight. We'll praise You. We'll thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. chorus that says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
Chains are broken.
Let me just say tonight that please be here on the 19th, I believe. That'll be the Sunday before Christmas. That's correct. So we will have our little Christmas program that morning, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that. Invite some folks to come. Everybody's looking for somewhere to go and see something about Christmas. So it'll give you a great opportunity to invite some people that might not normally come to church. It might give them a reason, an opportunity to come on that morning. And we'll do a couple of songs that will be geared just toward Christmas. We're going to try and do something a little special this year. And so please, we were unable to have any kind of program last year due to COVID. So we're very thankful to have an opportunity. So pray, Lord, keep us healthy and safe between now and then. And it'll be a great morning again. That'll be December the 19th. And if you'll please pray for the choir, started working on a few of those things this evening. And we'll go ahead and start throwing some Christmas music in next Sunday morning as well. And, you know, we only get to sing it once a year. We might as well take advantage. So you please be much in prayer for the choir and musicians. And we look forward to a great time as we celebrate the birth of the Lord.
All right, well, it's been a good day today, as it is every Sunday, but it's just good to be here tonight, and be quite honest with you, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it this morning with during the announcements. I just thought, man, I don't know, but the Lord always helps whenever we're weak, and so I appreciate that from the Lord, and but tonight we're going to look in the book of Ephesians for a few moments. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. And in just a few moments we're going to read verse number 23. Let me say, I like the backdrop. I like the backdrop. When I first came in here, I didn't know what was going on. I said, is there a hole in that screen? And that's... That's awesome. That's awesome. Boy, we're getting 3D, 4D. We are getting dimensional. And anyway, this morning we brought a expositional style message, basically verse by verse, here and there, moving through a book of the Bible and covering several things. Tonight, we're going to slow it down a bit, and we're going to bring a topical message. And I'll be using this verse to start the message off, verse number 23. I speak a lot, I feel like I do, about the mind of the believer. And we're going to continue that tonight. But this verse, it pertains a great deal to the subject tonight, or I wouldn't be using it, of course. But we're going to mention some things here, and then we're going to move away from this verse. Let me just say that I'm taking a long route to the main message tonight. And so just hang in there with me, and give your camels some water, and we'll be riding around this mountain, but we'll get there eventually, I promise. And notice, if you would, verse number 23, Ephesians 4, in verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a fairly simple verse to remember, isn't it? Try to instill in your heart, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A little bit of background in this book, the book of Ephesians. We see that the Ephesian believers had already experienced salvation and the renewal of the Holy Ghost. They were new creatures in Christ. This particular renewal happens one time in a person's life. When they meet Jesus, they are new. They are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. Also, I'll just give it to you, but in Titus 3 in verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I am so glad that at salvation, the Holy Ghost renews us, makes us alive. Now, not only do we see here in this verse, but also in this, the theme of this chapter deals with renewal. We know the Ephesians have been renewed by the Holy Ghost at salvation, but there's also a different kind of renewal. There is a daily renewal that's important in the life of these Ephesians. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so there is a progressive renewal. There's a daily renewal. There's to be this renewal of the mind. Let me say this. The mind needs to be renewed because of this. Thoughts become actions, and actions become habits. The mind needs to be renewed each and every day. Thoughts become actions, and actions become habits. Notice, if you would, in verse 23, the word renewed. The word renewed here is another word for renovate. Excuse me. Renovate. And the word renovate, we know what that means. Basically, the word renovate means take out the old and put in the new. To renovate. Renewal. I think about some shows on HDTV. Number one, there's the Hometown Show. Hometown. Ben and Aaron, where they go in and they transform their hometown. Not long ago, they actually had a series where they went into Alabama. Some may have seen that watch those kind of shows. And they flipped the whole town. What an awesome, awesome show that was, a series to watch. But this is one of my favorites. First-time flippers. Has anybody seen that? CJ, you seen? First-time flippers. So here's the story. Here's what happens. These people try to flip a house for the first time, and they know nothing about it whatsoever. I mean, a lot of them don't even know how to use a hammer and a nail. There's staple guns and nail guns everywhere on the floor sliding around, trying to patch up holes in the wall and walls falling down. That is a hilarious. I watch it because it's hilarious. First time flippers. It's just an absolute mess. But at the end of the day, the whole goal is renovation. It's to renew these old homes and establishments and flip them so that they are new and you can move into them. Well, in like manner, this word renewed means the same thing. When Paul speaks to the Ephesians, he says, and be renewed, be renovated in the spirit of your mind. Now, I want you to notice something. We're going to read a few verses here, more than a few, so just hang in here with me. But you're about to see why we need renewal. Look in verse number 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, we need more of that. We need more edification and grace being spoke to one another. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so you can see with the flow of these verses why we need a renovation of the mind. Because we know that the mind's not saved, the heart's saved. And our minds are constantly reverting back to the old nature, the things that we've learned by pattern before we got saved. Therefore, there needs to be renovation. On Wednesday night, we spoke about the subject of the cross to the cradle. And in that message, in that lesson, we were going through the first stage of the Lord's life, where it was the silent years. And we know, although that it was the silent years, there was some things happening. Baby Jesus was born. But then, second to that, we know that, and the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, I believe it is, that the child grew. In fact, I want to read it. That the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. You could turn over if you like, but in Luke chapter number 2, in verse 40, listen to this. Luke 2 in verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so he was progressing into his maturity. He was going from a babe to a toddler, and from a toddler to a tween, and from a tween to a teen, and from a teen to a young adult, and then an adult at the age of 30 was his public ministry that started. But what I want you to see here, corresponding with our message tonight, is that in verse number 40 of chapter 2, Luke, Jesus waxed strong in spirit. Now, excuse me, man, I sound like a broken box up here. Strong in spirit, what does that mean? It means he waxed strong in spirit emotionally. He waxed strong in spirit mentally. He waxed strong in spirit spiritually. He went from a babe to this young man. And at the age of 12, he was found in the temple asking questions and giving answers. He waxed strong in spirit, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And so I said that to say this tonight. That is the same, in like manner, the same cause that we have. We are to wax strong in spirit. And sometimes it's a progression. The same way that Jesus went from a babe to a man at 30 in the ministry, there was a progression where his emotions were, he dealt with his emotions. He dealt with his mind. Keep in mind now, he's the God-man, so not like us per se, but in like manner. He waxed strong in spirit. And tonight, that is the goal of the believer, is to wax strong in spirit, to wax strong mentally, to wax strong spiritually, and to wax strong in all of these areas, because there are things in life where we need to be present mentally. We need to be present spiritually, and we need to be able to conduct ourselves the way the Lord wants us to. I said we're taking the long way around, and we definitely are. But tonight we see that there's a mind that must be renewed. There's a mind that must be renovated. There's a mind that must wax strong and get strong and stronger. And so, with all those things said tonight, if we don't stay disciplined in our minds, our minds, along with the devil, can deposit negative thoughts that will hinder us. I said all of that to say this, that our minds is a battlefield. Our minds need to be renewed. And so tonight, I want to mention some things. Five thoughts to silence. Seeing that we have a mind that needs to be disciplined. Seeing that our minds are not saved and things enter our minds that could hinder us. I just want to give you five thoughts to silence. We may not mention all of them. We might. May not. Five thoughts to silence when it comes to the mind. The first thought that needs to be silenced is the thought, I can't. I can't. Have you ever thought to yourself on occasion, well, I can't do that. There's no way that I can do that. There's no way that I can go and help this person over here. There's no way that I can help that person. There's no way that I can take this job over here. There's no way that I can be this great spouse or this great Christian. Many times our minds, along with Satan, will have us believe in that we can't. And the worst thing about the I can't thought is that it stops us before we even start. Your mind will tell you you can't, and guess what you won't do? You won't start. It's the I can't thought. It fills us with fear as we force or as we face our biggest challenges in life. Fear fills our minds and fear fills our hearts as we begin to face these challenges, and our minds the whole time is saying, you can't. Satan is saying, you can't. Your mind may tell you, well, I can't overcome my struggles. I can't further my education. I can't get healthy. I can't overcome my hurts, my habits, my hang-ups. I can't, I can't, I can't. Let me say tonight, that's a thought that must be silenced. Because it's contrary to God's word. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We change our minds tonight by the promises of Almighty God. You're here tonight and you're telling yourself you can't, you can't, you can't. Let me ask you a question. Have you been reading this book? You say, well, I know Philippians 4:13. I know John 3:16. Yeah, but are you allowing this book to go from your head to your heart? Because the deal is this. We can't. But if Jesus says that we can, guess what? I'm not moving forward with my thought process of how I think it'll work out. I'm not moving forward with my abilities trying to teach a class, preach, visit somebody, take a new job. I'm not moving forward in my own thought process and my own abilities, but I'm moving forward because I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, I can. I can. Guess what tonight? You can. What is it in life that you feel led to do and you feel like God may be in it, but there's this voice in your head that says you can't? I want to say tonight, you can. You can. And when the devil says you can't, listen to this. When the devil says you can't, you tell him you can, and when you do, tell him you did. I want to say that again because that's the way I think about it. When the devil says you can't, you tell him you can. And when you do, tell him you did. There needs to be some of us that starts our day tomorrow saying, I can. And when you make it out of the door in the morning and you go about your work day, you go to school, what have you, and you're still walking by the scriptures and believing that you can have victory in your life, you can be successful today. You can have a regular prayer time. And once you get to that place and God starts to show you that you can, you just tell the devil that you did. It's a wonderful thing tonight to walk on the scriptures, being led by the Bible, being led by the truths of God's word. There's so many believers tonight that are discouraged because they don't think they can. They don't think that they can get victory over sin. They don't think that they can hang up their hurts and habits. They don't think that they can be the dad or the wife that God wants them to be. But they can. They can. Tonight we can do anything God wants us to do, which includes being a godly parent, which includes being a sold out Christian. We can do anything God wants us to do, which includes overcoming struggles. We can do anything God wants us to do, which includes forgiving others, which includes getting healthy, which includes going to church, which includes having a consistent prayer life. We can tonight. God wants you to experience His blessing. God wants you to experience intimacy in your prayer closing. God wants you to experience the Bible and the words leaping off the pages, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, my goodness, I believed the lies of the devil for way too long. The Bible says that I can. Let's experience God this week by Him telling us that we can. Whatever struggle you have, you can overcome it. Whatever battle, whatever mountain, whatever situation, tonight I'm here to tell you, you can. Not only the first thought we need to silence is the I can't thought. The second thought we need to silence is the God won't thought. God won't help me. I struggle too much. God won't forgive me. I fail Him too much. God won't hear me. I'm a nobody. God won't love me. I'm unlovable. All of these are thoughts from the unredeemed mind, the carnal mind, the unregenerated mind. We have been regenerated in our spirits, but our minds have not been regenerated. Therefore, we have to take control of our minds. Sometimes our minds tells us, the devil tells us, God's not going to help you out. God's not going to come through for you. God's going to leave you over there at that job until you drop at that job like you're going to drop on the end of a stick. God's not looking at you. God doesn't care about you. Listen what Psalm 103 says, verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. Verse 14, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And so if you're here tonight and you're in your mind, you're saying, God won't help me. I struggle too much. Forgive me. I fail too much. God won't hear me. I'm a nobody. God won't love me. I'm unlovable. That's a falsehood. Because contrasted to Scripture, the Bible actually says those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that the Lord is near unto them, Psalm 34, 18. But back in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says we have a heavenly Father that pities us. Pities us. That word pity, it means compassion. It means tender affection. It means has mercy. Now, believe you me, I pity Lily. I pity her. I didn't say she's pitiful. I just said I pity her. I have compassion on her. I have tender mercy upon her. Sometimes she may feel like that she's struggling too much, and she may feel like sometimes that with that kind of attitude, there's no way Mom and Dad's going to let me do this or that. I'm unlovable. According to Scripture, when it comes to God the Father's relationship with us, He says He pities us. And in several places in Scripture, there is the earthly Father, heavenly Father relationship parallel. And we see that played out here. And so when it comes to my relationship with Lily, she has a bad day. You know, I pick her up and she's quiet, looking out the window the opposite way where I'm sitting. I just let her be quiet. And then by the time we get home, you know, she's ready to talk. I ain't going to say anything that's going to embarrass her. By the time we get home, she's ready to talk and she's fine. I let her have her time. And not to mention that every day I always have a snack for her because I know she's probably hungry. You say, why are you talking about this old baby childish stuff? Because it's the same thing the Lord does with us. He pities us. There are times where, nope, I'm not going to talk to you, Jesus. I've had a hard day. And there's times where I may even act out of my flesh and say, well, God just won't, He can't love me today because I'm being unlovable. Nope. N-O-P-E. That's not the Bible. Because the Bible says that like as a father pitieth his children down here, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God knows when you have a bad day. He's not turning his eyes and, I can't believe it. The Lord isn't dealing with you like that. He's not dealing with us like that. God is not frustrated at our weaknesses and our failures and our negative thinking. He pities us. And the right kind of thinking tonight is not God won't, but the right kind of thinking tonight is God will. He will be there when I'm down. He will be there when I'm up. When I grow silent to Him and I don't want to speak to Him, God will be there because He pities me and He pities you. Verse number 14 says, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That word knoweth means observation. It means acquaintance. The word remembereth means to mark, to be mindful. The word dust means dust, but I'm a word nut. I like looking at everything, every word. I think means a little more. Dust means dry earth. It means ashes. It means clay. It means mud. Are we not clay in the hands of the potter? And what does the scripture say over there in Jeremiah? That Jeremiah went down to the potter's house as God would have him to. And what happened? He beheld a work on the wheel. And he noticed that the clay was, it wasn't together. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't ready to be used, but it was marred in the hands of the potter. It was disfigured in the hands of the potter. It was broken in the hands of the potter. And the Bible does not say that he threw the clay away, did he, Brother Randy? The Bible doesn't say that. But it says that he will make again a vessel that's pleasing to him. Thank God tonight that the potter doesn't throw the clay away. Thank God tonight that he is mindful that we're earthly. We are human. We are dust. We are clay. We are mud. We are powder. We are rubbish. God knows that, and God pities us. So the next time the devil says, the next time you say, well, God won't help me, God won't hear me, you tell him, or you tell yourself, you tell the devil as well, yes, he will, because he pities me, and he pities his children. So that's the second thought that needs to be silenced, is that God won't. Let me mention the third one. We're just going to go ahead and wear a voice on out. Tomorrow's Monday. I'll recover then. Number three, the third voice that needs to be silenced, the thought that needs to be silenced is nobody cares. Nobody cares. Have you ever felt like nobody cared about you? God doesn't care about me. And as if that was not enough, sometimes we care. We feel like people don't care about us. 1 Peter 5:7, one of the first verses I memorized. In fact, I remember when I memorized it. I was vacuuming the bottom hallway at Floyd Road Baptist Church, and I needed a verse. And God spoke to me, and I hunted this verse down, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I remember wrestling that day with that verse because I was thinking, well, God, the wrestle, the battle I feel, you're not aware of. Or Lord, I must be the only one in this world who is battling this in my mind. Lord, there's no way that you would help me. There's no way that you would care about what I'm battling, right? It's so personal. It's so intimate. It's so deeply rooted. Lord, there is no way that you care. But you know what about Scripture? Every word's inspired. Every jot, every tittle. I could not get beyond, what is it, that second word? I could not get beyond that second word where he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I had to do something. I either had to cast all my care on him, everything, the secret places, the things that are open, the things that people know I struggle with, the struggles only I know I struggle with. I either had to cast it upon him or keep on wrestling with it. Let me tell you what I did that day. I learned how to do some casting. You don't want to know why? Because if I did not cast that care upon him, and still casting cares, I would not be where I am today, standing right here preaching to you. I just wouldn't. There'll be a lot of things in my life I would have missed, even as a believer. Because everything hinges itself to the intimate parts in our life. And if we're hurt, if we're wounded, if we're bitter, if it's something we don't understand, if we feel like God's mad at us, it will affect every single relationship in your life. Tonight I say, get this football that the Bulldog should have had and cast that care and watch it fly into the hands of one who loves you and who died for you and who wants to take that care and he wants to filter it through his love and he wants to put you back out there in the race so that you could do what you're called to do with an unwounded heart. Well, so much for nobody cares. What are we going to do with that tonight, church? What are we going to do about that? Let me mention something else. There's so much more I want to preach. My voice is just getting me. Not only does God care, but people care. People care. You have a church family. Everybody in here. Those watching, we're including you, even if you ain't a member. There is a church family here that genuinely, no strings attached, cares about you. I could start with Brother Allen. He would say, I care. Miss Claudia would say, I care. Brother Larry, I care. All Brother David, everybody, CC Chuck, going all the way wrapping around. I believe everybody here would say, I care about everybody here. And if there was somebody here that didn't care, you might want to find a new place to worship. Because we are the body of Christ. We're supposed to care for one another. And so saying that, Hebrews 10:25 tells us to come together, because you'll find exhortation. There will be encouragement in the house of God. God's people care. Let me mention one fellow that really cares. Acts. Go ahead and just turn for a moment. Acts chapter number 11. Barnabas cared. Acts chapter number 11, in just a moment, verse 22 and 23. The name Barnabas means son of consolation, son of encouragement. Oh, you're already thinking about some people in your life that's like this Barnabas. I am too. These people that genuinely care. Look in verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Why in the world will they send Barnabas? That he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, what all God has done, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas was one that cared. Barnabas was rooted in the church. Barnabas was the son of consolation. His very name means encouragement. Barnabas was a refreshing Christian. Barnabas, when he came to check on the church there at Antioch, he was glad and he exhorted them all. He said, church, you're doing a great job. Church, souls have been saved and lives have been changed. Church, you're doing a great job. I just want to encourage you to keep on going. Keep on going and fighting the good fight of faith. Barnabas is saying, the son of the curse. Church, keep on going and fighting the good fight of faith. Keep on cleaving to the Lord. Keep on going after the purposes of God in your heart. What you'll find in God's house is people that care. Praise the Lord tonight. Boy, I feel a preaching spirit. Thank God that God cares, but thank God that people care. I don't know how things would have been if, say it this way, the best stories I know to tell my own stories. When I was the maintenance man at Floyd Road, I mean, I was on staff, me, Nancy, of course, Miss Carol, Keith Collins. But I had opportunity to spend with Brother Berman. Now, granted, he was busy. He was on the go. But I had opportunity to spend time with him. And I remember one day I was just so excited about being saved. And I wanted to serve him so bad, and I didn't want to be a janitor. And so every time he would dart in the door, it's a new question. Brother Berman, Brother Berman. Just like a little kid. And really, I was born again. And so one day, we were behind the baptistry. There's a little hallway on the left side of the church. If you're in it, facing it, like you are here, facing on this side, there's a hallway. I said, Brother Berman, you got a second? We passed the same. We actually passed our path in the dark. He said, yeah, son, I got a minute. So he sat down. I said, Brother Berman, I'm ready to go. I did. He said, where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. I said, Brother Berman, you know, Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. He walked out of his house, didn't know where he was going. I said, I'm ready to go. He said, well, son, you got to have some kind of plan. I said, well, he said, you want to just leave your job here? I said, no, not necessarily. I said, well, what do I do? And so he began to speak to me just simple things, not no deep theological things. Y'all know how Brother Berman was, and a lot of you do here know how he was to some degree. Just simple truths. Well, son, all I can tell you is just do what you know you're supposed to do, and God will he'll direct you where you should go. But that was too simple for me. You know, I got to have a plan. I had to have a plan that day, that night, bags packed, ready to go. That was how I felt about it. And so we would meet and talk, and I had this time with him. But he had an effect on me. Each of you have had a Barnabas in your life. He was one of my Barnabases. We can have more than one Barnabas. We can have some Timothys and some Tituses. You know? But Barnabas, and that's what he was to me, Brother Byrne, was that to me. And every opportunity I got, I tried to glean from him. I watched how he dressed. I watched how he dealt with people. I looked at his shoes, how shiny they were. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I think I'll say it because to me it's funny. If you don't laugh, I ain't offended. I said, Brother Berman, could you teach me how to shine shoes? He said, well, yeah, you got to get this black shoe polish. You got to put it on there, you know, and wipe it off. I said, okay. And so I went to Walmart and had a new suit and had a new pair of shoes. And I got that black shoe polish and I just caked it on there. You know, I was like, man, ain't no way. These shoes don't look like his shoes. There is no way I'm to wear these shoes looking like this. Look like I walked through black mud. And I did. I went to church. And the pants had a gray suit. I love gray. My pants were on top of my shoes, and they had black on the bottoms of them. I said, Brother Berman, I was shining my shoes. He said, you sure did. He said, but you know, there's a step you missed. I said, what's that? He said, you gotta scrub it with a brush. You got to polish it. I said, oh, no wonder. So it wasn't just spiritual things. It was common things. You know, and so that helped me. Can you think of someone in your life right now? And I'm sure you can, woman or man, that had that kind of effect on you. Now, tell me within yourself, most likely that person that made an impact on you, you met where? Church. They were rooted and they were grounded in church. And all of that I said because of this is that sometimes our minds tells us that people don't care. And yes, they do. People care tonight. People, they spend time and listen, you're around people. You may be investing time, but people care tonight. Thank God for the Barnabas is of this world. Number four, and we're just going to mention these two and we're going to be done. Nobody cares is a thought that needs to be silenced. But the fourth thought is, I don't matter. I don't matter. Well, I just want to say that everyone matters to God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you walk into your Monday with the thought that you don't matter, you tell yourself, you tell the devil, you tell the world, you do matter. And hang your hat on John 3:16 among many, many other verses. You are a creation of God. You were made in the image of God. He wants everybody to be a child of God. He wants to use you and bless you. You matter tonight. You matter. You say, oh, I don't matter to God. I don't matter to God. What about Zacchaeus? There was a crowd and Jesus was pushing through and he was being crowded out. And Zacchaeus didn't allow barriers between him seeing the Lord. He was a short man of stature. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. You know, you tell me how the rest of that story goes. Did Jesus just pass on by and didn't notice Zacchaeus? Did Jesus just pass on by? Oh, you great following. Here, let me give you some bread. Let me give you a morsel. No. Jesus passed by and he seen Zacchaeus. His eyes were fixed on him. Zacchaeus mattered. Jesus stopped in his tracks. Didn't matter how busy he was. And he saw Zacchaeus. You matter tonight. If Jesus stopped and paid exclusive attention on this little man Zacchaeus, he sees what you do as well. Everything that you're involved with, good or bad, he knows about it. But you matter to him. Salvation came to his house. What about the lad with the loaves? It's all I have, Jesus. It's all I have. Oh, get that away from me. That won't feed anybody. Thank you for that offering. Here, men, take this and go feed the multitudes. So he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. There was a, and I love this, there was a transfer and transform. And then the disciples distributed 3,000 plus 5,000, probably more, counting not only just the men, but the women and the kids. And it all came from a little one over here that said, here, Jesus, here's what I have. Jesus cares about your offerings. He cares about your offerings. Next time your mind tries to tell you don't matter, say, yes, I do matter. I do matter. God sees me. He takes what I have to offer him and he blesses it. And the last thing tonight, the last thought to silence is the thought of it's too late. I told you it's going to be a topical sermon. It's too late. You have a topic and then you search it out, different verses. This is a powerful, powerful lie of the enemy. It's a mental block that can hinder many. It's too late. It's too late to get saved, some say. It's too late to turn things around. It's too late to start over. It's too late to apologize. It's too late to forgive. It's too late to start doing better. It's too late to just start being a better Christian. This mindset, this lie of the enemy comes and says, it's too late. Now, I will say it's getting late. It's getting late on God's calendar. If someone isn't saved, they need to get saved. Today is a day of salvation. But if you're a believer and you feel like it's just too late to go back to church, it's too late to start a regular prayer life, it's too late to do this, it's too late to do that, it's just too late to forgive, it's too late to do all those things. While it's getting late, it's not too late. I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Lamentations 3, we know that Jeremiah was expressing all of his afflictions. Verse number 1, it says, I am the man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Jeremiah mentions all these things. He says, he's put verse 7, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. He shutteth out my prayers. He has enclosed my pathways. I'm skimming down here. He's allowed his arrows to enter my quiver. Deep, deep emotional pain Jeremiah was experiencing. And then in verse number 21, he says this. It's like his emotions melt away at the truth of God's word and at the truth of God. He says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He said, wait a minute. I'm feeling all of these things, but I got to remind myself of something. What is it, Jeremiah, you got to remind yourself of? Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I believe Jeremiah, it dawned on him. He had a spiritual moment where he was, hold on, wait a minute. I don't have to keep anything up. I don't have to try to figure everything out. He says, I just had to remind myself through my darkness that I have hope. I have hope because every day is new. And God's mercies is new. Somebody here tonight might be saying, it's too late to start over. It's too late to set life on the right path. It's too late. I say, it's getting late, but it's not too late. So won't you come tonight as we'll give a verse of invitation. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Let there be liberty during this moment of invitation. Those watching on Facebook as well, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.